All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, we are at, I know that we use music for randomizations a lot, and it's getting to this meta joke now where I'm using, it's not shuffle play
Okay.
this time, okay? But I was feeling nostalgic, and you might be a little bit young for this, but did you ever have events where you and your friends got together and you everyone brought like an external hard drive and you just took a bunch of music from other people? Like you'd hook it up to, you'd go to their house and you'd, one person would host,
Oh.
everyone brought an external hard drive and you just like download 70 albums.
Yeah, it was like oh man, that joke on the on Arrested Development about a CD burning party, but that makes absolutely no sense. Now, it's like a something like ripping party. Like, hey, let's get together and rip our discs.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get together and you come home with like 70 new albums, like of which you'll like probably never listen to them, but it was a nice way to experience. Wow, that was a surprise and a silent burp. That was just my body doing the motions of a burp, but nothing was produced.
I think that was your body just saying, "Hey, remember who's boss here."
Yeah, I think if you have an injury and you get your burp removed, I think that you get these phantom burps.
Okay,
still, you still kind of feel it, even though you know maybe you're. Your xiphoid process is not actually processing all the xiphoid the way it once used to. Excuse me for that brief moment of silence that I explained as a bodily function. I could have been doing anything in that silence.
Yeah, you could have been pausing. Trying to find your way through this bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and if I ever pause just for a second, just assume that my body is productlessly burping or farting.
Okay.
If you're listening to this.
Yeah,
you, Cole, and then also audience members. Just my diaphragm's going like, whoop, but nothing came out, man.
Plug your magic twanger, diaphragm.
Yeah, I plugged my magic twanger.
But you get the music that your friends have, right?
Yeah. So I wanted to start doing those again, and I wanted a way to organize it online.
Lo-fi. Okay?
I'm totally lo-fi. I'm old school. Okay, and. Here's the thing. I went to Bounce Web to get a domain site for this, and they have a special where you can pay half price, but they pick the domain name for you.
Okay.
You just tell them what the idea is about. And I thought, through the miracle of improvisation and the fact that I already set this up, that the name that they might provide might give us a game to play.
Okay. Yeah.
And then while we rip each other's CDs, and then I spend the rest of the evening deleting Ockerville River songs from my external hard drive because I don't need that shit.
You like that band.
I know, I do. It was just the first thing that popped to mind to say something mean. Like, if I could have thought harder, I probably could have spelled something a little stronger.
You probably could have thought of something truly heinous that I like.
Yeah, so, yeah, something, or just something that I, not heinous, I just, that I don't like, yeah. As opposed to something we both like. Does that all sound good?
Yeah, no, I'm just along for the ride, you know.
Okay.
Here's me smiling politely.
I'm gonna need you to PayPal me $4.99 so I can pay the thing. Network money
are already up here. Okay, there you go.
Okay, and let me go ahead and type the concept in, and rippingfriends.com.
oh,
we shall be the Ripping Friends. Let's throw that into the old old Abject Suffering computer.
Fuck.
Yeah, this is a real big fuck.
Oh boy, Gary.
Yeah, I don't care for this, and I didn't know it was a thing. Did you know it was a thing?
Oh, of course I did, Gary.
How like. Maybe it's just you being a little bit younger than me.
No.
But I missed this as a thing entirely.
Yeah, I missed it as well. However, this is a game that definitely it came in. I never saw anybody buy it. I never saw anybody trade it in. But the cartridge just kept on multiplying in the Game Boy Advance case.
Well, the Ripping Friends are fucking. Yeah. They're having ripping babies.
Who taught these Ripping Friends to fuck?
John Gay. The Ripping Friends Lost Episodes DVD.
Yeah.
Where they're even more grotesque.
Yeah, it's the Christmas special, The Ripping Friends Learn to Fuck.
The ripping baby tantalize me, buy me lots of things.
You have some kind of like toy drum there.
I did. I picked a random sound effect on the little Casio I have.
Ah, I got you.
Okay. I was hoping for something a little bit more bombastic or something. Yeah. Get fucked. Ripping Friends. Fuck Christmas. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And fuck Christmas. And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yeah. And why are you doing this to us? This is a random one. So this could just be lightning striking, as the shirtless men over at Live say.
That's the storm. Okay. I'll put this down. I was really hoping it'd be a lightning strike. Just to be a nice coincidence.
It very much would be. Yeah. So this was put into our little magic box by somebody whose name I don't recognize, John Newman, who says, I haven't played it, but I don't need to. You should, though.
Yeah, that's probably pretty fair.
Yeah.
I don't know that anyone needs to play this. Yeah. And this is, in some ways, will be kind of an ideal Abject Suffering, I think, because there's a lot of things to talk about. Like, I was looking at this and thinking, like, what are we going to talk about other than this awful game? Like, well, the game is awful, and, like, we can talk about that. And then there's the entirety of, like, this cartoon and this transmedia property thing. And then there's the entirety of, like, John Kay and his weird tragic fall from respectability and goodness.
So we've definitely talked to John Kay before when we did Ren and Stimpy Space Cadets.
But did we mention that he had a cartoon called Pussy Hunt? Weekend Pussy Hunt? Because I didn't know that.
Neither.
Like, that's something that we would have mentioned, and I just learned that. And it's like, Weekend Pussy Hunt, huh?
Yeah, Pussy Hunt sounds like something we would make up.
Okay, Roosh. Okay, Roosh V. Roosh V, Chris. Man.
Weekend Pussy Hunt in 1996 for MSN. Which was billed as the world's first interactive web-based cartoon. Hey, Microsoft, are you okay?
Your goddamn mind? Like, hey. I'm sure we're going to greenlight this Pussy Hunt project. I'm Barack Obama. I don't know why I went to Barack Obama voice when he greenlighted the Pussy Hunt, but like...
He signed an executive order.
Oh, no. The executive order is for a Pussy Hunt. And, I feel like...
Oh, let's see here. It starred Dirty Dog and Cigarettes the Cat. Cigarettes is a pretty good name for a cat.
I think that's funny. But also Bugs Pussy. Like, oh, and Leg Hussy and Girlfriend. Like, I feel like this is probably not the best anything.
No. If we talked about Weekend Pussy Hunt before, I definitely would have remembered it.
I would think so, but maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, we got pussy wiped.
Pussy was too good. Oh, no. Not pussy wiped.
Like, y'all got pussy wiped. And not the kind that sell in aisle six. I don't remember talking about that, but we definitely talked about John Kay in kind of the abstract. I just, you know.
I don't know. I don't think in episode 29 we had decided that we would start going that far afield.
I don't think so. I think that because there's a very specific. I can't remember which episode it is, but there's the like, so what's in the news? Like, there's a very specific moment.
Yeah. No, that was the King of Dragons one, I think, or something. Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is, you know, this is what the show is. It took us a long time.
Yes.
But we got there.
Yeah. So if people don't know who we're talking about, John Kricfalusky is the animator / creative mind who created Ren and Stimpy and has been kind of riding on that cultural cachet for 30 years now.
For a very long time.
Right.
Yeah, like Spumco, like the company founded in 1988, for God's sakes. Like you said, 30 years. And Ren and Stimpy, you know, just to do the cliff notes of whatever that Pussy Hunt conversation we might have already had. Like Ren and Stimpy is great. Like I love old Ren and Stimpy, and that was my favorite Nicktoon by like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird and it's gross and like, you know, dark and like, it's very good.
Yeah.
And then he got fired for arguing with Nickelodeon, where essentially he wanted to make it worse, is what it seems like. Like, yeah. Well, let's make the cartoon stupider, like, and like more boner jokes. And Nickelodeon said, no, Nickelodeon, like, this comes on before Rugrats, you idiot. And so then he got fired and then made the adults only Gay Panic version of Ren and Stimpy.
Right. Where he took the idea that Ren and Stimpy were in an abusive relationship all the way to its kind of like just distasteful conclusion.
Yes. Which is all stuff that works in like the subtext of Ren and Stimpy.
Right.
Like, their relationship is very funny. Like, it is a part of those cartoons I like.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that he had done the Ripping Friends at all.
Right. This was, this seems like it was to be his kind of return to form, right? Like, hey, Act One is over with. Ren and Stimpy,
yeah.
Forget about that. Because
the
here
past
we,
is prologue.
Yes, here we are. Everything has been setting us up for the Ripping Friends on Fox Kids.
Yes. And this was a concept he had in his back pocket for a long time. Like, he made these before he made Powder Toast Man, who is a beautiful creation of Ren and Stimpy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a concept that I think that, like, on paper, like, if you divorce this from everything, it is not the dumbest concept in the world. You know, like, I could handle a parody of, like, just, like, very, very strong men being very masculine as, like, a parody, like, taking it down.
Right.
A notch. And I watched some clips of it. It is extremely ugly, but there is, like, a touch of that John K. Ren and Stimpy, like, anything can happen.
Yeah.
That's real weird. Like, the clip I watched, one of the Ripping Friends, was in a torture chair. Did you happen to see that?
No, I couldn't stand watching more than 30 seconds of this at a time, so I just kind of jumped around in episode number one. Yeah.
It's rough to watch, but he's getting tortured. And it's just getting vainier and vainier in that Ren and Stimpy way. And in Ren and Stimpy, they would just cut away to an ultra detailed, like, drawing of it. I love those.
Yeah.
Here he just kept getting, like, vainier and vainier, but they did weird things where they, like, showed a close, they kept doing, like, a push in on his muscles until it went into his skin and it showed his nerves, like, freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person, operating the device, like, he didn't want to turn off the device. So his finger grew, like, a face and arms and legs, mm-hmm. or arms. And his fingers like, no, we got to push that button. And his fingers, arms, like, went to go pull the lever. Like, really kind of surreal stuff like that I can appreciate.
Yeah.
But it is an ugly, unpleasant, like, hateful experience to actually try to watch this in its narrative at all.
Yeah. And not to be parodies of ourselves, but, like, I wanted to give it, like, okay, I'm just going to watch this at work today. It'll be on the second monitor while I'm answering emails or something. And the first little vignette that goes on for, I think, 7 minutes... is two of the characters leaving the dentist, and they're arguing because one of them got a blue toothbrush and the other one got a pink toothbrush, and one of them says, oh, you got the pink one because you have little weak girly teeth.
Yeah,
you know,
which is what you would do in a parody. It's a matter, like, I think parody requires trust,
and I don't trust, you know? I don't trust John K. Yeah. As far as I can throw him.
Yeah, which I did for a while, like I did, you know, during Ren and Stimpy, like I would, you know, excited for him coming out with new stuff until I saw those new episodes of Ren and Stimpy, and it's like, yeah. Oh yeah, like that's bad. It required, you know, I want to trust that it's coming in like good faith and stuff, and it's like the manly, you know, something that's parodying manly people should be, you know, I can see them being aggressive about getting a pink toothbrush. Mm-hmm. I don't like that they have a mentally challenged, drooling, like sweet sidekick.
Yeah.
In their thing, like what's the point of that, you know? Yeah. Like
who is called Jimmy the Idiot Boy.
Yeah, Jimmy the Idiot Boy. And they have a foster mother named He-Mom. I think He-Mom is pretty funny as a word.
Yeah,
you know. And they fight a gum, like, in, you know, a piece of gum called the wad. Like, well, there's the
piece of gum, the villain has a piece of gum, was like the core idea of this. Like he had an idea. Like this was the single moment of genius around which everything else kind of gathered, and, you know, from which everything sprung. What if there was this enemy called the wad and he was a piece of gum?
It's like inventing late period Pokemon. Like, he's just like looking around. He's like, okay, what if it was a watch? Like, I can get into that though. I think that is kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I'm down for like a gentle superhero parody kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, the villains list for the Ripping Friends is not that dissimilar from like the villains of The Tick or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I love The Tick.
Yes.
However, I just don't trust it to not have this, like, if you look at John Kay's interviews and stuff, in addition, in his influence section, he lists Frank Sinatra. It's like, it's fucking gross, dude. You know, like, oh, ring-a-ding-ding, baby. I like to have my enemies killed by the mob. Ring-a-ding-ding.
You know? Yep. Bing Crosby, Dean Martin.
Yeah, it's fucking gross, man.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't trust him to not be an actual absolute asshole. You know, so you don't get to make fun of assholes when you are just like a super shitty asshole.
Yeah, like, so it takes this incredibly confused kind of approach where it's like, hey, let's skewer masculinity while also saying like, yeah, these guys are stupid, but they're onto something, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're a little bit onto something, right? It's that's extremely bad,
right?
I think.
Also, you know, and maybe I need to watch the 13 episodes to really get a sense of the dynamic going on. Our four heroes, Crag, Rip, Slab, and Chunk, I don't understand what makes them different from each other, because they all kind of look like tumors that like could sprout nipples at any time.
Like, that is really weird. Like, that they should not, they look like Brothers Grunt.
What?
The Brothers Grunt?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, I guarantee I've talked about the Brothers Grunt before. It was the follow-up from, it was an MTV animation show.
Okay.
Is it Mike Judge? I think he's like vaguely, let's look up the Wikipedia for that. I've been meaning to. It's from the Canadian television series by Ed, Edd n Eddy creator. So it's shown on MTV, which is about four kind of male golems that are called Frank, Tony, Bing, Dean, and Sammy. Again, okay. Fucking Rat Pack. Are an ensemble of pale, rubbery humanoids distantly related to human beings.
Same.
Ostensibly male, yet wandering around with underpants in search of their brother. And it was just about them kind of like being cartoony and running around.
Okay.
And like falling over each other and stuff and just grunting. Like making these like passing, like the most heinous shits entirely. Like, you got to watch like a little bit of footage of the Brothers Grunt, man. If you never saw this shit, it was deeply unpleasant. And I was so into like MTV cartoons at the time. Like, I loved The Head and Butthead and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I like this. Hey, Austin, want to come over and watch the Brothers Grunt with me? And he'd watch it. And at some point he was like, yeah, it's not actually that good.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, you know, but it's kind of funny. You know, and it was just, I was trying to convince myself.
Uh-huh.
But this, it's repulsive.
Ooh, got a real Mad Balls kind of aesthetic going on.
They,
huh?
They do. They look a little like Rat Fink, kind of Rat Fink Mad Balls, you know.
Yeah.
And they're just like constantly writhing and flexing.
Yeah, lots of veins. Yeah, this is a this is a parade of shambling homunculi is what it is.
Do you find this pleasant?
No.
Because I don't, but I convinced myself and a friend that we did.
He is. It appears that he's walking along the skin of a giant creature. He's got a rake, which he is using to ply up the epidermis to pull out babies. He's lifted a skin cell, and now the camera is zooming into his booger encrusted nose.
Yeah, huh. The idea was just like, I think that these things just kind of exist and they're around, you know, and like that is kind of a scary, weird, you know, thing. Like, it is horrific in a way that I appreciate being animated while being too unpleasant to abide.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, wow. And this immediately kind of cuts away to a live action thing. And I don't know who this is or what it's supposed to be. It appears to be some kind of music video.
Mm. Huh. They did show music videos, and they had their brother Grunt like watching them.
Oh,
and occasionally they show them kind of like jumping in and going.
Yeah, they bit that steeze. Wow,
making dying noises.
Yeah,
essentially during the video.
Wow, all of their eyes are way too small for their eye sockets. I think that's the most off-putting thing.
It's pretty gross.
Yeah,
like they're amazing. But I watched like all the episodes of the Brothers Grunt when did this come out? When I was 14?
Because of course you did, because you watch everything when you're 14.
Yeah, and like I loved the Max and the Head, and I loved Aeon Flux and everything on Liquid Television. Like that was the kind of kid I was.
Yeah.
And it just meant that like they could sneak, you know, my love of Beavis and Butthead could be like, oh, here's another gross cartoon with music videos, and I'm like, sign me the fuck up, man.
Yep.
You know, I didn't get Wise.
Yeah.
So I
feel a little bit, you know, lucky in that, like, by the time I was coming up, again, you know, we have the 7-year age difference between us. Most of my Beavis and Butthead exposure was through VHS. Like, we just had a bunch of VHS tapes with Beavis and Butthead, and I was allowed to watch them, which was crazy for the age that I was. But by the time I hit MTV age, you ended up getting, like, the late night block with Daria and Syphil and Ollie. And those were incredibly formative for me as well.
Yeah, that's a much better block, yeah. I think.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't mean to lord my superior time shifted MTV over you, but yeah, this is pretty heinous.
Like Beavis and Butthead is legitimately like I think that show is pretty funny.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. That's not.
It's a shining star in this field. Yeah,
the Max was fun. Like that's a cool weird like until it got up its own ass. But it did the same thing the comics did. Like. You know, the Max is very cool up until Sam Keith realized he had to come up with answers for all the cool questions he came up with.
Right, right.
You know, which happens all the time. So there's still good stuff even in my era. But then also there's the Brothers Grunt, which acts as like the dividing line between the two eras. Like we got pre-Grunt and post-Grunt. And I think Ripping Friends is very like indicative of a post-Grunt world.
Right.
You know, they or a grunt world, you know, like
it's the grunt world. We just live in it.
We're just, yeah. It's a grunt world.
I need to turn this off before I get really upset. So had no grunt exposure prior to this. But yeah, there definitely is.
But you did know about Ripping Friends.
Yes, I did know about Ripping Friends because, like, I don't know, this was slightly after the era when I was watching cartoons on television. Looking at this, it was like 2001, 2002. Would have been right around the time, but like my era of like, while I'm home on summer vacation and Cartoon Network is on, was like the Powerpuff Girls and Dexter's Lab. Stuff like that, and then pretty much anything that came after that, like this, not really part of it. I was never into the Backyardigans or Detention.
What about Ed Nedi from the creator of the Brothers Grunt?
I didn't much care for it. I thought it was way too ugly, and all the character voices were just just incredibly grating.
Yeah, unpleasant character voices is the thing that kills cartoons for me.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, it was impossible to like listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. Yeah. So I knew about the Ripping Friends, and you know, I saw this game a lot just because it was, you know, part of that wave of Game Boy Advance shovelware that I think a lot of people forget happens.
Yeah, it's definitely shovelware with like there is weird depth to this that is to no end. Like it's unplayable. I think,
yeah.
Like, I think this game is extremely bad.
I couldn't go the full half hour with it.
Oh, no, I couldn't. I mean, I got off the fucking, there's nothing that happens. There's no kinesthetics when you get hurt or when you hurt something else. And the beginning part of it where everything is like overly animated, which is just what happens when you have something based on a cartoon. Yeah. And then I got down on the ground and a little arrow told me to go in a direction, but it wouldn't scroll. Like, did that happen to you? Did you pass like the city screen, the first city screen?
No.
Yeah, I couldn't. It's like says go to the lower left. You go there, the screen just doesn't scroll. I was like, what the fuck? And then you can go up on the roof and you get a gun. And I was like, okay, this is better because the range on my melee is so shitty. And these like turbo hobos that I'm fighting are invincible. Like you can't do anything to them. They just wake up. So I was like, oh, having this gun will help. You can't take the gun off the roof as far as I can tell.
What?
Like as soon as I jumped off the roof, I dropped the gun. So I was like, it's just going up there to shoot the one hobo up on the roof that constantly regenerates. Like, what the fuck is this? Like, it is very frustrating. The time I spent with this.
Yeah. No, I couldn't figure out what it wanted me to do. I was, you know, because it opens up like the first stage that you play, you're like on the back of this like fighter plane that has some turrets on the back of it. And I think it's like dropping bombs. You're flying over this infinitely scrolling kind of suburb. And there are some enemies that you're hitting and there's a guy who's floating around. Like nothing is communicated. And it's entirely incomprehensible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very frustrating.
Yeah.
You hit some more just kind of random dudes And the GBA is like, this is weirdly overly detailed, you know, in order to like make sense of, like, I couldn't really tell what the enemies were or what they were supposed to look like.
It doesn't seem like it's this game that should be top down.
No. No, like side scrolling would be much better for this.
Very, very much so. Or like a, yeah, like to do it like with limited depth, like a beat 'em up, like this obviously, yeah, really wants to, yeah, be, you know?
Like they seems like they would beat up. Yeah. I mean, it has a combo system. Some guy on game, you know.
I'm glad you found that. It's the, yeah, only fact, but I just, it's pretty great.
Just because, I mean, just the intro.
Yeah.
Like I've seen too many reviews that state that there is no combo system in the Ripping Friends GBA. This mini fact is here to set the record straight. It's at the beginning of Ken Burns, the Ripping Friends, Cole and the World's Most Manly Men combo fact by Doggy.
Time.
By Ken Burns.
Yeah. Time was, people said, ain't no combo system in the Ripping Friends.
Until along came a man from out east. Along set him straight.
Along came Doggy. This is his only contribution.
I know. I love it. Like rushing to game facts. Like just like, listen, I'm sick of this shit. Like if I read it, like, and also, is that a thing that like, you know, all these reviews were like, oh, you know, good graphics, decent sound, no combo system. Like, like he's read multiple reviews that say that. I couldn't, like, I don't think there are a lot of reviews of this.
This game doesn't exist, Gary.
Yeah. It's like, it is weirdly inceptioned into my mind.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, like I open up three tabs when I record any of these episodes. First is, you know, game facts. Second is Wikipedia. Third is Mobi Games. Mobi Games is this massive, all-encompassing database that is so useful. It's how I find, like, you know, staff connections and things like that. It's great. This is not there. It might as well. It's an unperson.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at reviews. There aren't very many of them in general. Like, there's like seven or so.
Because who would review this kind of shovelware?
I don't know. And a bunch of them are broken. So if you go to Metacritic, like, the review that's supposed to be on IGN is, you know, not extant,
right?
Of course, it's like IGN like dedicating server space to this review of the Ripping Friends. User reviews. What kind of game has no user reviews on Metacritic?
I have no idea. I really,
like, that's
don't
crazy.
Like somebody, you would think that somebody who's like, you know, graduated from college now and is, you know, paying taxes would think, hey, I remember playing that game when I was a kid, and hop online in order to like make their voice heard. There are no, like, there's only one topic on this board. And it's just like a quote from the show, something about, oh, you'll get no sympathy from me. I've got, you know, whatever. You would think
it's like a line from the thing or something.
Everything else has some kind of like, hey, I got this for $5. Anybody remember this? This is like, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. It there's nostalgia rate. For it.
Yeah.
I'm looking through, all of, I open it up to look at all of the different reviews that are on Metacritic here.
Okay.
And out of all of them, there is only one of them, if you click review, where it's not like a 404 error. That's on gameover.net. Has like a very, very short, like, couple paragraph reviews.
Let me
see if it says there's no combo system. Because
yeah,
if so,
say,
I'm going to be fucking pissed.
Doggy, do I need to stick my doggy on you?
get him doggy.
Keep him in a chest like he's the GIMP. Here comes Doggy.
Whenever, yeah. Oh yeah, like, and just Doggy's like sniffing around, and it's like, no, somebody was kidding when they said God Hand didn't have a combo system. Calm down, Doggy. Yeah, I think we got to recruit Doggy for the forces of good, but he's a very specialized agent.
Is he's definitely a single issue voter, but you know, like, sometimes need an acrobat to break into the safe, right?
Yeah, exactly. It says it has simple controls. I don't think it says there is no combo system.
These guys not giving this game the credit that
it even says, like, it's hard to execute your special move. So like this one review I can find in 2017 does indicate that there's a thing, but to be fair, we don't know if this is because Doggy got to this person.
Oh shit. You're right.
Doggy came a court and we're fucked.
This one goes all the way to the top. He wrote He wrote this on October the 18th of 2002. So like,
yeah, like right after it came out,
he was sitting down, he cracked open his issue of Game Informer, and he's like, this cannot stand.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what I need to register for an account. God damn it, Doggy. Like, you're one of GameFAQ's greatest weirdos somehow.
I can't believe you've done this, Doggy.
Yeah. Doggy. Bad Doggy.
But yeah, like the collision detection's a mess. Like any way that a top-down game can fail, short of going full on, I mean, like this feels about as functional to me as X-Men.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, I'd say it's mildly more, but not very much more.
Right.
Like, and not what, you know, near, you know, 15 years of progress should have done.
Right.
Like it is not 15 years better than X-Men.
No.
You know, so, but it's like on the curve, it's probably about on the same relation as X-Men.
Right. Yeah. So. And you would think, hey, this is a game that is based on a show with a pretty pronounced visual style, you know, and really all that comes over is the over animation, which gets in the way of play. I've harped on that a lot.
It happens all the time. Like, yeah. You know, like whenever you are making, I think that you should not make beautifully animated games on like 8 and 16-bit systems like that.
No.
You know, like you just, you do the shortcuts, you know?
Yeah. Or, you know, don't make it, at least make it so you can cancel out of the animations, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
there's a way to make that work.
There really is. Or you build that into the style of play like Prince of Persia, you know, which is incredibly deterministic, or what's it, Out of This World, right?
You make it not an action game,
right?
You know, this requires like reflexes and being able to move out of the way, and like, you know, that time it takes to actually do the thing is going to get in the way when enemies just come up and like vomit on you. They couldn't tell what the hobos, like alligators that vomited or something, like, and like, but I, also were clearly coded as hobos,
and like, when I punched them, like lemons flew out of them.
It is real. It's really something.
Yeah. But to finish my point about the visuals, it looks like this looks like an exquisite corpse to me. It looks like the characters, enemies, backgrounds, and pretty much any other element were all done by different people who didn't communicate.
Yeah. 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 And I wouldn't be surprised if that's literally it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So when I said earlier that every character looks like a tumor who's about to sprout nipples. Do you know what I mean? Like how John Kay is just really fascinated with putting nipples on shit.
Yeah, like everything is kind of quivering until like it eventually like, yeah, like flexing beyond.
Right, right.
The part that it can flex. So like I get it. Yeah. I mean, I get it. I get it in all sense. Like I get it. Like yes, but also I get it. Like I would do the same.
Okay.
Because why wouldn't you, you know?
I suppose, if given the option.
Yeah, like if I'm going to touch something.
Okay.
Anything.
Uh-huh.
Would I rather it be a nipple? Probably.
Ah, jeez. Okay. All right. Oh, God. No? What the fuck? Gary, you just posited some kind of terrible Midas touch.
Where everything sprouts nipples late when you touch it?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty tricky. Let me think about how that might impact my life.
I just imagine you like just like being real dizzy and then like, oh, I gotta stabilize myself. You just like lean into the wall and then out from your hand comes just a writhing like line and wave of nipple flesh, just like spreading like corruption around the house.
I have some question.
Okay.
So like, so it is it's not just the shape of which they are flesh, human, presumably like what human or once human, presumably flesh nipples. It's not like if I touch the wall gets a nipple. You know, that's like yeah. From the wall.
So if you touch a plaster wall, I don't think a plaster nipple comes out. I think an according to Hoyle, flesh nipple pops.
Interesting. Okay, that would make eating too hard. To do, I think that's the problem. Is that like if it were just like let's say like I grabbed a cheeseburger, and then there was just like a nipple like made of bun material. I think that would actually be kind of fun and good.
It'd be pretty funny. It'd be a good prank.
I think that I could sell that shit at Spencer's. But if it was just like, and then a human nipple, and it's like you're just biting the burger, but then like you had to eat around the spots that your hand touched because it would just like burst into like blood and milk remnants and like
right.
You know, hair.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll throw back with that. Like, this is a curse. How do you think Midas died?
Yeah, food wise, this would be actually be way more livable than Midas, because when you touch something in this, it's just where your hand makes contact is my implication.
I mean, like when Midas went to drink water, like, yeah, he ended up spitting out like liquid gold and stuff.
Yeah.
Like it was whatever he touched.
So, yeah, it's not just his hand, too. I guess that's true. Mm-hmm. So like you're putting it in your mouth. So I guess but you can live on eating nipples.
You can live on nipple flesh.
Yeah. Like I think that you would be a very like maybe you wouldn't want to. Maybe you'd envy Midas.
Right.
You know,
like, You attempt to end it all, and you jump into the water, but it turns into just a big sea of nipple.
You burn. this would be pretty rough, I think.
Yeah. John K, what have you done?
Yeah, that's I wish that he hadn't done that. the nipple curse.
Ren and Stimpy adult party cartoon.
Yeah, adult party cartoon.
Spike, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have anything else to say about the ripping friends, Gary.
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm done. Hey, Adam or James, what's your name? What's your name? Get over here. Come on, John. Hey, John, why'd you do this to us?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
let me just double check my tabs and see if there's anything else worth hitting.
Yeah, but both of the ones we're doing tonight are pretty scant on in the online stuff.
The thing, yeah, there's a very positive review of this that is not good.
It's not based on reality.
No,
and also it's not reality, entertaining either.
No, it's just a very positive review. It's a shill.
Paid
Ripping Friends lobby.
It's a paid review.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, you're not going to get a big laugh at the end of this one.
No, I got nothing else. We did the nipple thing, and you're happy.
We checked the box.
Yeah, we checked the nipple box. Uh-huh. We chaffed the box. So thank you very much,
up, man.
If you like this show, this was a random pick. Mm-hmm. It's worth, I think, reminding people every once in a while that those exist. So
yes,
you can actually just, people pay to have their games chosen, but you can also enter a lottery of sorts by going to the About page on Abject Suffering website.
Yes. Or abjectsuffering.com/suggest.
Suggest, not About.
Yeah.
It's About on the WAF one.
Yes, it is. But that's just because I haven't unified everything. Okay. Yeah. And
straight.
Yeah. And don't worry if you think something else might have been suggested already, because what happens is if something is suggested more than once, it enters kind of the drawing to become one of our premium episodes.
Yes. And it makes it even more likely to come up. So if you have something you want to hear and you don't have money, that is a way to make it happen.
Yes.
Or more likely to happen.
Yeah. So please suggest with wild abandon.
Yeah. Also, rate and review the show on iTunes, and support us on patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Mm-hmm. Both very useful. And tell your friends.
Yeah, I think that's about everything. Let me take a look and see when this comes out, because I don't think we've talked about Duckstream on this one yet.
I don't know that we have either.
Yeah. This is out in plenty of time. This comes out on earlier release on my birthday.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
December the 8th, 9th, and 10th. If you want to support a good cause, you can go to twitch.tv/duckfeedtv to watch Duckstream, our yearly streaming event, 48 hours of video games to support the Transactive Gender Center out of Portland, Oregon.
Yeah. That's going to be real fun.
Mm-hmm.
We got stuff planned. So we've already started working together the schedule. I need to clear it with Nick and Brayton to make sure they're cool with it. But the sneak preview is that I'm pretty sure that Brayton, we're going to do some a blind fighting block starring Primal Rage, because Brayton apparently likes and is good at Primal Rage.
Oh,
and
cool.
Surprise me. He's like, I love Primal Rage. I'm like, what? I fucking love Primal Rage. Like, okay.
I love Winger. What?
Yeah. What? Yeah, who likes Winger? Yeah, and Nick is going to do a block where he plays through all of the released Zachtronic games in order. Not to completion, of course, but to kind of do a history of Zachtronics, which are the only people making games like that, that weird aesthetic that he has that super doesn't work for me, but I respect.
But I'm so happy it exists because Nick really likes it.
Yeah, Nick loves it. I mean, not aesthetic. I mean, those type of, efficiency as a puzzle game.
Yeah.
kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Nick loves them. They're his favorite things, and he's gonna go through all of them for a couple hours and show kind of how the developer has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the year. So I think that'll be really fun.
I'll figure out what I'm gonna do. I need to fire up a couple games to make sure they would support the marathon approach. It'll be horror related, don't worry.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, and I think that is all we got for this. So until next time, who's Doggy?
No, seriously, send him our way.
Yeah.
He's got some stuff to answer
for.
Who is
Doggy?
Who is Doggy? Get along, little Doggy.